Great. If you have not already, you can log on to the m.acu.edu/quickpoll to ask Dr. Perkins any questions. We have a few here for you.
Okay.
The first question comes from Kyle in San Antonio. When you said that love is the final fight, what do you mean and how do we live that out?
The motivation for redemption was two. It was God's love for us and his concern for us being just people here on earth. And so John had it right. John the apostle. He's dialoguing with Nicodemus, and he's trying to explain to Nicodemus the miracle of the new birth. And then he broke out into this great reason. Why did he redeem us? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because they believe not on the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and man loved darkness. And so the motivation for all of this is love and justice. Now, what was the question?
No, that was it. I have another question here from an anonymous student, and I think this is a profound question. How do I lead with clear vision when I have doubts myself?
That's a good one. And I do think that you have to arrive at the time and place in your life in order to be an effective leader. You have to arrive at the place that God has called you to do this. There's no doubt about that. There's no circumstances about that. And that's what the vision includes. The fact that you got to believe that God, and the God who have called you to do it, can carry it out through you. You got to come to that place. And so you got to, like the person in the Bible says, Lord, I believe, just like he's saying, help my unbelief. You know what I'm saying? So those are going to be waves that's going to come. But when you act and do it, it's when you realize that this God that is saving. And God is always trying to get you to say that. You know, like Moses said that. Moses said, I know that Egypt, they are tough people down there. And I tried it, and I had to run. And so I won't go unless you go with me. God said, surely, surely, surely. Then Moses asked the question, how am I going to know that you was with me? You will know when I have accomplished it through you, when you have brought them back to the mountain. You will know I was with you. So, yes, that's the right question. The right question. The deal now is the courage to act. And that's what faith is. That's what faith is. Yeah.
Going right along with that, Colt from Abilene says, it's hard for me to keep faith and hope in my own generation with all the gang violence, drunkenness, ignorance, racism, and hatred that I see in my own generation. Do you have any tips for keeping hope in our generation?
Yeah, we got to create little islands of hope. We got to create little communities of hope. You've got to get you a good partner, maybe, a partner, and together y'all begin to see that hope. You got to go in and test your hope with reality and begin to see that test work. A little mile of what you want to see, you make a little mini model of it. And I call that, we call that in community development, the three R's: relocation, reconciliation, back into a community, and then begin to share our resources with people in that neighborhood and begin to see them develop. So I think you got to create a model. You got to see it somewhere. You got to see it. And either you see it, you have to create it, or you go to somewhere where it's being created and see it, and you're motivated then.
Okay, we have two questions here that are somewhat similar, so I'm going to ask the first and then I'll ask the second. The first is, you mentioned in Follow Me to Freedom that your board decided to pass up front row seats to see candidate Obama 2 years ago. If you had a chance to meet with him today, what would you say?
If I had a chance
to meet with Obama today, what would you say to him?
That's, you know, I served a few presidents. I served on the, as an advisor. That's one thing you got to be careful with. The awesomeness of meeting with the president. You forget something that you was thinking about. Because it's such a, in that you are so tense. So it's difficult to know. I remember, you know, I got in that big discussion with President Clinton, and it was known all around the world about the discussion that, that we had when he asked why evangelicals didn't like him. And I said to him, I said, evangelicals emotion about abortion, life, their emotion about gays and that type of thing. And then you just ignored them. You know, we got into that kind of a discussion. That's why. What was the question again now?
No, just what you would say to President Obama.
Yeah, I would tell him that he's gotta clarify his faith, because that's a big issue. I know that, that people are trying to still make him a Muslim, and I know that American people hate Muslim, which is unfortunate. Which is unfortunate. You don't solve a problem by hate. All hate do is reproduce itself. And those people are caught into isms like we are caught into Islam, and they are misled. And so you don't, so Christian, I'm talking about Christian. Christian don't solve a problem by hate. Love is the most powerful force on earth. Yeah, and so I would tell him to clarify his faith, you know, in life. He's coming out with a children's book. It's going to be something to see what he says in that children's book. That's a good thing to come out with a children's book, because I think it is our children now. The media is choking them off before they hear values. And so we got to get these values into children at a very early age. I would like to talk to him about his book. I think that's what I would do. Talk to him about his children's book and his faith. I think that would be the most, I think people would be motivated if he could clarify his faith. That Jesus Christ is the foundation on which he stand. Yeah.
One of the big themes that we're talking about in this course, Cornerstone, is immigration. And so this next question asks, how would you respond to the problem of immigration from Mexico? Do you think that the racism applied to them needs to be fixed? And if so, how do we do that?
Yeah, I hate for us to keep on trying to criminalize 11 million people. And I think truth is not left to individuals. Truth is left to legislators. Truth is left is to a body. Y'all know that, don't you? That's why truth is legislated. You know, truth, if one person have all truth, he become a cult leader or a dictator. You know, so truth is committed to a body of thinkers. And I would get with a body of thinkers and think it through. When I say I don't think we know how quite to do that now, I think we might have it in our mind individually. But if I think we get together and come up with a collective way, give and take, and then come up with a way, Colin Powell, this in today's paper, had an article in there. And Colin Powell is talking about that how the Hispanic is contributing greatly to this country. And he said, especially those children that were born in this country for no fault of their own are here. We should come up with ways to make sure that those kids get on a pathway of citizenship in this country. And he suggested some passes of citizenship. That's the kind of thinking I think we should have. But I'm don't take what I say here is absolute. I'd like to take it to a collective thought pattern and bring people together and think about it. You don't put people's life in the hands of one person. You put them in the hands of a jury who listen to that. and then come up with the adequacy of it. So I don't know. I don't have to know. I don't have to know. And that's, again, back to my idea of intelligence. Intelligence is to bring the people with the wisdom around you and to seek from those people the solution to these very sophisticated questions.
Last question here. I understand that our generation has gotten very far from slavery, but don't you still believe minorities have to work twice as hard than any other person? Why do you think people are trying to say racism is not alive anymore when we face it every day?
And it is alive, and you face it every day. It motivates me. I'm not going to commit myself to inferiority. I'm not going to self-curse my children and tell them because they're black, they can't overthrow this system. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say that we can't do it in our society. You know, I'm going to say, let's get together. And I don't believe that the people who caused my problem is going to fix it for me. I want to participate in it. I've already told you that. When I look at my little grandchildren down there, I feel good. Men, John was talking today. We were talking about where his boy is going to go to school. I said, to the best one in Jackson. That's where he's going. That's where he's going. I ain't sitting around here self-cursing. I say this all the time when I'm teaching my group at home. My 5:30 in the morning Bible group with boys, and my 6:30 group one with girls there. I say all the time that I said, y'all can't be equal to me. I'm teasing them. I'm making them mad. Y'all can't be equal to me. We start off equal during the day. You have 24 hours just like I have. You ain't equal with me because I'm going to sleep four of them. And the other one, I'm going to be thinking about ways of making my community a better community. And you won't be asleep. Oh, you want to be listening to that some music. That's what you want to listen at. There's nobody like music better than me. I listen at about 5 minutes a day. That's enough for me. I don't need my ears plugged up. Because I want to hear something else in this, in when I hear. So I think we talking about all this stuff people are doing. Who's taking your 24 hours? What are you doing with your 24 hours? I'm going to be doing mine. I'm going to be doing what I want to do. You know, they're going to give me a check when I leave here. But this is... This is about as joyful as you can be. I'm here doing exactly what I wanted to do. I would have walked out here to do this, to be with y'all. So what do we do? What do we do? Our problem, young people, is that we have lost passion. We have lost passion for life. We have lost passion. And so we just go into the arenas to watch somebody else enjoy themselves playing football and basketball. That's wonderful. I'm not condemning that. But boy, I'd like to be out in the field with them. I'd like to find something I can give my life to. I would like to have something that has meaning that I can give my life to. I don't want to just sit on the sideline. And so we got people today is satisfied with watching other people play. And saying that somebody else got to do it. And coming up with the critique is what's wrong, what's wrong, what's wrong. On my little card, I said, on my business card, I said, we know the problem. I have a solution. All we need is each other. We can do something. We can do something. I think, young folks, and that's what excites me about you. This, you're the generation that's going to take responsibility and want to take responsibility. And don't be satisfied with saying, it's your fault. It's the white folk did this. Yeah, these black folks got in my way. Now these Hispanics are taking my job. I don't see not one white person or not one black person in California picking those strawberries. What are you talking about? See, what are you talking about?
Thank you so much. Let's go ahead and give him a round of applause.
Thank y'all. Thank y'all so much. We got a book table out there. Y'all can look at our book. I think we got a few books left, don't we, John? A few, but you can take the ones that I got here. I don't need them anymore.
We have been truly blessed today. Two little announcements. First of all, yes, the book table to buy more of his books. And secondly, there are some magazines called Relevant or Relevance that are sitting around in your areas. If you would just grab one, they're just something fun for you to look at. So thank you for an awesome class today, and we will see you Wednesday in your small classrooms.